Jesus showed hospitality in a number of ways that are great examples for us. Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
I love the way that Jesus reached across social barriers, economic barriers, political barriers, racial barriers, to welcome and receive those that nobody else would receive.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For April 19th, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. We're in a classic series from Nancy on what the Bible has to say about hospitality. So far, it's been such a meaningful study, and I hope it's giving you a fresh perspective of welcoming people into your home and life. What you're about to hear from Nancy was recorded some years ago, but I think you'll find it just as relevant today. Then, we'll hear from a woman who's putting this kind of teaching into practice as she serves international students. First up, here's Nancy.
We've been talking for the last week and a half about the heart of hospitality and how as we open our hearts and our homes to others, we reveal, we express the hospitable heart of God. We've seen in the scripture that we're commanded to be hospitable, that this is not an option, this is not a choice, this is an obligation we have. We're to pursue hospitality, and we're to do it cheerfully, opening our hearts, opening our lives, opening our homes to others. Now, starting today and into next week, I want us to look at some of the practical how-tos of hospitality. And what does the scripture teach, and what can we learn out of our own experience about the how-tos of hospitality? Today, we want to look at the objects of our hospitality. To whom should we extend hospitality? And I want to give you a list that has been helpful to me, but there are others that you would be able to add to this list as you think through the kinds of people, the categories of people to whom we can extend hospitality. Let me encourage you as we're making this list, maybe to put down some names that come to mind. People that you could extend hospitality to. As I was working on this, there were thoughts going through my mind, very practical thoughts. In fact, in the middle of preparing for this series, I found myself picking up the phone and calling an elderly couple who live in my neighborhood and saying, "Could you come over for dinner?" God put a couple on my heart. We haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I'd like to do that. And a couple that I probably wouldn't have thought about had I not been making this list of the kinds of people to whom we can show hospitality. 3 John is a book about hospitality, the third epistle of John. And as we said earlier, the apostle John praises a man named Gaius because he had shown hospitality to God's people. And he says, "You showed hospitality to 2 categories of people, to brothers and to strangers." This says to me that we're supposed to show hospitality to people we know and to people we don't know. 2 categories of people. People we know, close friends, family members, extended family. It's good to show hospitality to them. But we shouldn't stop there. We want to show hospitality also to people who are outside our normal sphere of relating. To draw people in, to bring people in, to extend our borders to those that perhaps we don't know. Then in Isaiah chapter 58, we read about showing hospitality to those who are hungry and poor. Those who are needy in very practical, physical ways. God is talking in Isaiah chapter 58 about the kind of heart that God wants his people to have. And he says, "I want you to share your bread with the hungry and to bring to your house the poor who are cast out, those who don't have a place to stay." I think of people who've come to join our ministry at times in the past, and they've come to town without knowing yet where they're going to live. And I've had opportunity on more than one occasion to welcome some of those people, sometimes a whole family, into my home and say, "My home is your home. Make yourself at home here. You don't have a place to live right now, and you are welcome to stay here as long as you need to. I'll share my bread with you. I'll share my lodging with you. Whatever I have is to be shared with you." Those people aren't necessarily poverty-stricken in the strictest sense of the word, but at that moment, they're poor and they're hungry. They're needy. And God says, "Bring to your house those who've been cast out, those who don't have a place to go." And then we read in Job chapter 31 about taking care of travelers, those who are traveling. And Job said, speaking of his walk with the Lord and the way he had expressed love to others, he said, "No stranger had to spend the night in the street. for my door was always open to the traveler. I like that. And I think that's a great model of what any one of us should be able to say. My door is always open to the traveler. I'll tell you this, the door of my home is open to travelers even when I'm not there. Now, some people think this is nuts, but I've been gone, as some of you know, from my home for 2.5 months, and my home has been being used while I've been gone. There have been people staying there. There have been guests. I hear about it. I got a thank you note recently from somebody I didn't even know had stayed at my house, thanking me for my gracious hospitality. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has provided a home that can be used. It's sitting there for 2.5 months. And I'm so thankful that it's there and that it can be used to be a blessing. Now, sometimes it's easier to open your home when you're not there than it is when you are there. But when I am there, God has taught me to have a heart that says, my door is always open. I've had people come in the middle of the night. I've had people come in with little to no notice. Some of them pretty desperate once they get there, don't have a place to spend the night. Can I send them to a hotel? Sure. Is that easier? Absolutely. But I miss an opportunity to share the love of Christ, to tear down walls, to relate to people, to bring them into my life, even as a busy woman. It's hard lots of times, but I think it's so important for me and for them, for me to have this open door policy and to say, my home is open to you. We're to show hospitality to those who are lonely, those who don't have family, maybe a college student who's not able to go home for the holidays. And my mom has been so good over the years about at different times having in college students who weren't able to go to be with their family, maybe even their families overseas. And she would invite them home to our home for Thanksgiving or for a weekend that they would have available. Those who are widows, those who are orphans, maybe not strictly speaking, but maybe they don't have believing parents or have a broken home and no place to be where they really feel welcome. I'll tell you one real mission field for hospitality today, and that's kids who are latchkey kids, who have working moms and don't have a place to really call home in some of those hours when their family is not available to them. And some of you moms who are able to be at home, some of you who maybe your children are grown and you're not having to be in the marketplace during the day, this is a ministry you may be able to have in your neighborhood. Well, with some of those children. Ministry to singles, those who are lonely. Ministry to unwed mothers, or those who are expecting a child, waiting for the birth of their child. We take a stand against abortion. But are we as quick to open our homes to some of these gals who really don't have a place to go, except perhaps some institutional sense, but where they need to be taken in and loved and welcomed and helped through this period of their lives? I know women who've opened their homes to foster children, and I think that's a tough area of ministry, but I know women who've done it with dozens of children and found such a means to be a blessing to open their home to that child until a permanent home can be found. Those who are unlike us, we're to extend hospitality to. I love the way that Jesus reached across social barriers, economic barriers, political barriers, racial barriers to welcome and receive those that nobody else would receive. Samaritans, lepers, tax collectors, sinful women. He welcomed them into his heart and was willing to extend hospitality and ministry to them. I'll tell you, a great opportunity here is ministering to international students. They're living away from their home country. Many of them have never been exposed to the gospel of Christ, and many of them will never be open to the gospel of Christ until they meet Christ in someone's home. And they see the love of Christ, and they're drawn. This can be a great ministry. Opening our homes to Christian workers, to missionaries, to pastors. This was something that was such a blessing as I was growing up, as we often had Christian workers coming and staying in our home. I can still remember Dr. Hyman Appleman, who's now with the Lord, but he was a Russian Jewish evangelist who led my dad to the Lord back in 1950. And I can remember Dr. Appleman coming into our home and him and my dad having these big spiritual discussions, and I would just like to sit in the corner and listen. And I can remember him with his thick Russian accent praying and just the blessing of growing up and hearing prayers of men and women of God, meeting missionaries. I'm telling you, it's my mother and dad's hospitality and bringing these kinds of people into our home that did a lot to create in my heart a heart for ministry, a love for ministry, as I would be exposed to just men and women who love serving the Lord. These Christian workers and missionaries have been a great blessing in my own home. I think of a couple who spent several months in my home recently living there as they were getting ready to go to the mission field and were waiting for a visa. They thought it was going to be just a matter of a few weeks, but it turned into several months. Jeff and Cheryl were such a blessing in my home. I was sad to see them go. They were encouragers. They prayed for me. We prayed for each other. We got involved in each other's lives. Did it require extra labor? Yes. Was it a sacrifice? In some ways, yes. But what a blessing. And then opening our homes to unbelievers. My parents did a wonderful job of this, bringing non-believers into our home, sharing the gospel with them. And we saw so many people trust Christ in the context of hearing the gospel in our home. That's what Matthew did, the tax collector, after he met Jesus. He said, I've got lots of tax collector friends. Let me have a party, bring them into my home, and Jesus, would you come and let them get to know you? I heard last night about a woman who had a church background, but she had been molested by her father who was active in ministry. And now as a grown woman, she doesn't want to have anything to do with church. And I said to the woman who was telling me this story, I said, this is the importance of hospitality. She won't go in a church, but she'll come to a home. You can't resist genuine love. And it's in our homes that we can show that love. Now, Jesus emphasized that we're supposed to show hospitality, particularly to those who cannot reciprocate or pay us back. He said at one particular dinner he was having at a Pharisee's house, he said, when you give a dinner or a supper, don't just ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And then finally, one other category of people we need to remember, and that's our enemies. Romans chapter 12, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Now, these may not be people that you would call your enemies, but they may be people that you're not real comfortable with, people who haven't been kind to you. They may be members of your own family, and there may be a member of your family that you have not invited to your home, you have not made feel welcome in your home for years. You say, well, I don't feel welcome in their home. They've rejected me. They rejected my child. They rejected my husband. God says, find out what their needs are. And look for ways that you can get into their lives and minister grace to them. You know, as we've looked at the scriptures, we've seen that there are lots of different kinds of people that we can extend hospitality to. And we need to look around at our circle of friends and beyond our circle of friends and say, Lord, who have you brought into my path that I can open my heart to? Who can I open my home to? To whom can I show the hospitable heart of Christ? There may be some people you've never thought of who need to know the love of Christ. And you can show it to them and be a part of their receiving His grace and His mercy as you open your heart and your home.
As you've been listening to Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth, maybe someone's come to mind, someone who needs hospitality. Nancy mentioned how meaningful it is to show hospitality to international students. Well, I'd like to explore that idea further by helping you get to know a woman who's put this idea into action. Carla Shire is on staff here at Revive Our Hearts. Not long ago, Erin Davis sat down with her. She wanted to see how Carla and her husband, Tom, show hospitality to international students. Here's Erin.
Carla, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am so honored.
Carla, one of the things I love about you, one of many things, is that you have this deep passion for international students, which I think is kind of exotic and exciting. Tell us, how did all of that start?
Well, that's rather unusual. I wanted 13 children when
what?
I got married. 13.
Wow.
I was smart enough not to tell my husband, because I think he would have run. And so when we had a boy and a girl, he thought, that was a perfect family. And I said, what?
That's a long ways from 13.
A long ways from 13. So he compromised, and we had another girl and another boy. So we have two of each. And then it was really quite miraculous because I thought, you know, okay, he's compromised twice, and that's got to be it. And he came home from work and said this lady told him that we would be the perfect family to host an international student and asked me what I thought. And I said, of course, that would be wonderful. And so that it was a sweet answer to prayer. The Lord brought us a young lady in the air. She was in the air from France to our house when we got word that we had to move to North Carolina. And so we did that without any help. You know, you're not really allowed to do that, but the organization said, we have people in North Carolina that you can contact if you need help. And it was a beautiful year. Tom came to me and said, do you suppose we could host exchange students for the quiver that you want to fill? I said, oh, well, that sounds like a great idea. Let's pray about it.
I love that because it's a creative solution. You know, he's referencing scripture that a man is blessed when his quiver is full of children, and we automatically think that's children rebirth. But here there was this creative solution that all of these young people would come into your home. So, you know, God doesn't fit in our boxes. He can meet the need any way he wants to. Isn't that true?
Oh, my, yes. And he has so, I can't even go into all the miracles that happened that first year in North Carolina. It's just amazing what he does.
Was that young woman a teenager when she came?
That young lady was a teenager. Okay. And she was from France. And she helped my daughter, who was also a teenager, our oldest, move her junior year of high school. She thought her world was coming to an end. And Marie from France was probably 98 pounds soaking wet. And she looked up at Kara and said, I'll help you.
Aww.
And from then on, they were the best of friends.
Oh, what a sweet provision for your daughter and your mama's heart to have a home full. So that was many years ago. How long did you and your husband minister to international students this way?
We had hosted Sophia the year before for just a short term. So right around 84 till 2008 was our last two.
So a long time.
Yes, actually. Well, what happened was we had our fourth student, and he had been placed in our home by a fraud. And so we were very concerned. He was from São Paulo. He knew the city. And Tom and I are farm kids. So we had a very challenging year and no rep because she took the money and disappeared from his parents in São Paulo. Well, Bruno thought he could go on over to Chicago with all the other brilliant zillion students and have fun. Oh, it was a challenging year. And Tom and I talked about, well, maybe we could be reps because our whole purpose in hosting was to invite a foreign student into our home and expose them to the life of our Savior. And many of them were impacted by that. But then when we thought, okay, maybe we should place, we placed 110 over those years. And always praying that the Lord would let us place in a Christian home. It didn't always happen that way, but it was a beautiful part of our life that the Lord has so graciously blessed. That young man from São Paulo came back and wrote a letter to our pastor and wrote a letter to us apologizing because he came back to Bethel in Mishawaka, Indiana, on a scholarship to play soccer. came to know the Lord, married our third daughter's best friend on the volleyball team, and have lived here in Osceola. And they have three beautiful boys, and he leads missions trips with soccer. And so all the kids come to play soccer, and then Bruno sets them all down for, I don't know if it was popcorn or drinks or what, and tells them the gospel.
So his apology was because of his rebelliousness?
Behavior, I'm sorry, yeah, he was... He was a handful.
But that's just beautiful fruit. And I know it doesn't always happen quite that linearly or even that you know about, but here he was in your home and it was challenging. And you probably at the time thought, what is God doing here? And yet the Lord brought such a beautiful testimony of that. I also love how missional you were from the beginning. I mean, that you were intentionally placing foreign exchange students hopefully in the homes of believers that they might hear the gospel, I think is a beautiful extension of hospitality that I might not have thought of. What did serving these students look like practically? They came into your home, and then what? What were their needs? What were your challenges?
Well, they would arrive in August, and one of the things that I remember is a lot of the students we placed had trouble feeling like they were a part of the family. I learned early on from actually Dr. Dobson that if you want a child to really feel connected, you don't treat them like they're a guest. And so our kids loved the fact that when we had an exchange student, the chores got divided amongst another person.
I bet.
So they had a little less. And I would tell folks that we're hosting, make sure that they have chores that, oh, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm saying, it's the only way this child is ever going to feel like they're your child, that you've really embraced them. And so that was one of the blessings. But another blessing is, Aaron, you're always hoping that your kids get it. Mm-hmm. And when we had an exchange student, my kids acted like ambassadors of Jesus Christ. They would want to take them to youth. They would want to take them. And I don't know, it was a beautiful thing to see your children blossom and care for another human being like you know Jesus would if it were Jesus.
I think that's one of the beautiful benefits of hospitality that a lot of mamas miss. They don't show hospitality because they're in the parenting years, and it no doubt is intense. And for sure, their children require a lot of them, and they think, I can't add more people into the mix. But you do get to, you train your children to be others-oriented, hopefully, and then you get to see them, as you described, living out the Great Commission in big ways and small ways. So I don't think our kids are a hindrance to gospel hospitality. I think they're a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And Nancy has mentioned that Mary was probably 13 when she had Jesus. And Mary obviously knew everything about running a home.
Yeah.
So my goal in life with my children was they would know everything about running the home. The guys needed to know what the girls had to know.
Yeah.
And the girls had to know how to change the oil and tires and all of that stuff on the cars by 13. Mm. Well, these exchange students' eyeballs would get huge because nobody was doing that. But it ended up being a beautiful thing because they were learning things in America. Most exchange students, when they come, think of you as what they see on Hollywood. Mm. And then when they find out that it's not like that, it's nice for them to have something that they really can say, well, I learned how to do this, or I learned how to do that. They gain confidence. It's kind of like practicing a sport. You don't get better unless you do it,
right,
and do it a lot and do it excellently.
Yeah.
And so,
well, even in the 80s, when you started this, Hollywood was not showcasing faithful Christian families loving each other and loving others in the name of Jesus. So if nothing else, that shifted perspective is so beautiful. And hopefully they came here because they wanted exposure to those kinds of ideas. I know that you hosted 15 exchange students in your home through the years, in addition to placing those more than 100. How did you see God working through that kind of hospitality?
Some of the children were only children because it takes a lot of money for those parents to send them. So they loved family. It worked. Our family worked. And that, I had so many of them say, I hope I have a family like this in my lifetime.
Beautiful.
I have actually, if you want me to take a little rabbit trail, I have a beautiful story about
that. Yeah, go
for it. That first girl from France came back to visit us at 10 years. And my oldest daughter was married and had two little boys by then. And Marie came to me. Marie came to me and said, would you pray? Because I want so much to have a husband and a family. And men in France never marry.
Wow.
But I know if you pray, maybe it will happen. And so Kara and Rick and myself and Tom prayed for Marie. And she let us know that Christoph had asked her to marry him. And they did go on to have two boys. And then Tom and I were blessed with an invitation to come spend our 25th wedding anniversary with Marie in France. And it's a memory that, that's very, very precious.
That's a beautiful story. And that's the blessing of hospitality. Obviously, we show hospitality out of obedience and to bless others in Jesus' name. But God always blesses the blessing. And so there's all of these kind of intangibles. Of course, you didn't invite Marie in so that you could come to France for your 25th anniversary and see her beautiful family. But what a sweet return on investment that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was precious. We just had a visit from Homero, who was also from Brazil, but northern part of Brazil. And he and his wife, Tatiana, live up in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And they came down and spent time with us. And then our daughter from Finland was here and spent a week with us and toured through the United States. That's one of the sweetest things is when they keep coming back and are a part of your life and a part of your family.
I've been privileged to be in your home many times. You are an amazing cook. And one of the other ways you show hospitality is anytime the Davises are in your area, which we don't live near, you're sure to invite us and feed us fresh veggies from your garden, which is always a blessing. But your house has, if you watch for it, kind of this international flair. Like I'll say, well, that's a beautiful vase. And you'll say, I got this in, some far-flung place. So I feel like, I wonder if your love for the nations and for the world preceded having international students in your home, or is it an outflow of it, or did they happen in tandem? What do you think happened with your love for travel in connection to this form of hospitality?
Well, I'll say I always wanted to be a missionary nurse. And so when I went to college, I had a professor that had a broken accent, and I could not keep up with chemistry and the physics and all of that. And so then I ended up being tested for computer, and that was how the Lord directed my life. But in my heart, as a young girl, I always wanted to be in missions as a nurse. And so I find it very interesting that a lot of the students that we hosted came from fractured families. And one young man from Korea, the pain in his heart, it was just really challenging for him. And he found so much peace by watering my flowers and listening to the birds. I don't know. It's just neat to see how the Lord heals hearts uniquely. Each child needs some different. And if you just go about your life, God is the one that does it. He's the one that brings the answers. He's the one that brings the opportunities. He's the one that heals the hearts. And it's a beautiful thing to watch.
For sure. Yeah, I'd be interested on your take in this, but I feel like to some degree, the international exchange programs have certainly been impacted by COVID, but slowed down. My son's in high school, and I think there's one exchange student in his high school. And we talk about it a lot because he's fascinated by, why is he here from Germany? And he's playing basketball for the first time in his life on Eli's basketball team. And it's kind of fun to watch a 16-year-old handle a basketball for the first time. But I just think in an era where political tensions are high, isolationism is an attractive option, just having your heart open and your home open and letting the Lord bring the nations to you speak softly in a world that's really loud right now.
Yes, I really hope the international student exchange programs will be able to survive. Mm. I know that COVID struck a hard blow.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who's listening to this and they feel kind of on the fence about hosting an international in their home? What encouragement would you give them?
You will receive 10 times more than you ever give.
Mm.
The Lord has a way of touching your soul that I can't even explain it, but it's a beautiful thing. And those children go back to their home country with an entirely different opinion of America, because they come thinking we're rich, and we are. I don't mean to make that sound like we aren't, but we're a rich country. But they learn about family. They learn about an American Christ-centered home, if they come to my home, and the God that makes it all possible. He's the one that provides it all. So I would really hope that the faith of the people thinking about it would be strong enough to let Jesus explode the love in their hearts.
I would point us all to the Great Commission. I mean, it's mm-hmm. for all followers of Jesus, not just those that feel maybe they're uniquely gifted for evangelism or uniquely called to a foreign mission field. That's the calling for all followers of Jesus. And God can bring the nations to you through a lot of different ways, which your story illustrates.
Yes, and then your children learn about the world. I mean, it is really kind of sad. Our children do not know about the other foreign countries like the foreign students do. And the foreign students inform your children. I mean, you learn a lot. You learn how to cook their native recipes. You learn how to speak some of their native tongue. You just get to be a part of who they are, and they absorb who you are.
Mm.
It's really quite beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Carla, I know you to be a woman who, your home is your place of ministry. It's open to whoever the Lord brings to you, and you're happy to serve, you're happy to host, you're happy to bless, and I've learned a lot from you in that way. So thanks for being obedient to Jesus's call to show hospitality.
Oh, thank you so much, Erin. You're kind. You're very kind.
Oh, thank you, Erin Davis and Carla Shire. They've been talking about the benefits of showing hospitality to international students. And before that, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth gave us a lot of ideas of the kinds of people needing hospitality. You'll be challenged to explore this list further when you get a copy of a Bible study based on this teaching. It's a 6-week study called You're Welcome Here, Embracing the Heart of Hospitality. You'll see how, ultimately, hospitality isn't about creating the perfect surroundings or meal, but about living in full surrender to Jesus. It's great for your own personal study or with a group, which would be a great chance to practice hospitality. This study is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. You can even follow along with extra video content from Aaron Davis and others. Just visit our website, reviveourhearts.com/hospitality. And don't forget to request your welcome here when you contact us to make your donation this month. Just call 1-800-569-5959 or visit reviveourhearts.com. This weekend, we're going to continue this conversation talking about hospitality as a way to reach others who don't know Jesus. That's on Revive Our Hearts weekend. And then we'll be back Monday to continue in Nancy's series, You're Welcome Here. I hope you'll join us for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.